The Buck Sexton Show.
Are you looking to save 50, 60, even 70% on your phone bill? Well, here's a tip. Broadvoice.com. Hi, it's Brad Staggs of Blaze TV here. Broadvoice offers high-quality phone service for only $8.95 a month. You may ask, how can I save so much money? What's the catch? Well, the secret is the technology. Broadvoice uses VoIP technology that takes analog audio signals from your phone, turns them into digital data, and then transfers them over the internet. This means crystal clear sound and cheaper phone bills. Broadvoice has been ranked in the Deloitte Technology Fast 500 and Inc. 500 as one of the fastest-growing private companies in America. Get Broadvoice right now for only $8.95 a month. Keep your existing phone number for free, and Broadvoice will send you their easy plug-in adapter free. All this, and you get unlimited local calling for just $8.95 a month. Plus, for a limited time, Broadvoice will even give you your first month free. Do what we did here at Blaze Radio. Make the switch today at broadvoice.com or call 888-332-8036. 888-332-8036.
First Amendment, religious exemption, yeah, right. You are. It's already gone, don't you see? The Supreme Court decision that came down with Kennedy writing that sort of poetry posing as prose, that has already established that there's going to be a problem, because they said there won't be a problem. So you know there will be a problem. You know that religious exemption is not going to count anymore. They're going to go after Christians first. And the left will largely be quiet about, I'm sorry, I should say the left. Other religious groups will largely be quiet about that, because they know the Christians will be the main target. But then they'll move. Then the eye of Sauron, the progressive eye of Sauron, will turn to whatever is left. And eventually it will be other groups, except for Islam. Islam will always get a pass, because Islam is a very useful tool in the context of progressive ideology as a sort of alternative theory of the world, if you will, an alternative to the dominant paradigm, as an Islamic studies professor of mine in college used to say about Islam and America. Islam offers a whole different thing. There's a whole different thing out there, right? Different than America. Islam and America, not compatible. Not compatible, but very useful if you're a progressive Democrat and you want to bring in issues of discrimination, of race, of racism, of all this stuff. And you have this vast entity that you can use as a counterbalance to the United States. But discussion for another day, perhaps another time. $135,000 from these two bakers. I keep saying the couple, but of course the couple doesn't distinguish what we're talking about here, because you have a heterosexual couple and you have a gay couple. So the heterosexual couple in this context has to pay $75,000 to Rachel and $60,000 to Laurel, the two plaintiffs in this case. The owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, the Kleins, have had to close their business. And they have posted on their Facebook page that according to the state of Oregon, we have neither freedom of religion nor freedom of speech. They are correct. And let me tell you how correct they are. Not only do they have to pay $135,000, not only have they had to shut their business, are their at least careers at best dramatically hampered and perhaps ruined, right? I don't know what jobs are going to be open to them after this. Not only is that the case, but there is a court-ordered cease and desist, on them from speaking publicly about this whole ordeal. So the court has said, we're putting a cease and desist order on you. You can't even talk about this anymore. What? In America, how does that work? Oh. All of a sudden now, the judges are saying, not only will we crush you, but you're not allowed to talk about it. This is the next step, right? This is the level beyond. Because if they can shut down the mechanisms of debate and speech that come from their targeting of people, then they'll get away with this. Then it's just the same as people who have disappeared in the middle of the night from any number of countries around the world. At some point, they switch from don't talk about this to do you dare talk about it? That will come with time. But initially, it's you're not allowed to talk about this. You better not say a word. They tell your neighbors. This is in other countries now, I'm saying, but that have entered this sort of long night of totalitarianism. Someone disappears, and then? Who wants to say anything about this? You're next if you do so. That's what comes. At first, it's, oh, no, there's a process here. Just be quiet about this. There's a judicial process. Don't worry. They put that thin veneer over the whole thing, but then it turns into, are you really going to say something about this? Do you want to see how quickly we can crush you? That's the next step after it. They're already at the place where the judge is saying, under force of law, by the way, under force of law, you better not talk about this. And keep in mind that you might say, well, Buck, it's just what's going to happen if they bring them in or they violate the cease and desist order, the judge will fine them. Really? You don't think the judge could imprison them for contempt of court, for violating the cease and desist order? You don't know judges very well. You say, oh, well, if it's only a fine, guess what? Maybe they don't have the money to pay the fine. You know what happens then? Maybe they serve some time in jail. So this couple is being told, pay $135,000, don't talk about it or else, and we're supposed to sit back and say, yeah, sure, freedom of religion, that still exists in this country. Let me tell you something, freedom of religion is already almost dead. We're not hoping that we're going to continue this robust tradition of freedom of religion in the public sphere. That's almost gone. We're not trying to keep them. This isn't like we fumbled the ball in their red zone. Let's take a football analogy here for a second. Fumble the ball in their red zone, and now they're coming back down the field the opposite direction. We're already on the 10 or 20-yard line, those who believe in religious freedom. However religious or non-religious you may be, if you think that's important to this society, it's evaporating every day. And now the judges are helping push this whole thing along. Remember, the Supreme Court not only said that gay marriage is the law of the land, the Supreme Court said, but, I mean, we're going to respect the First Amendment here for people with sincere beliefs. Well, that's not happening. So on the one hand, you have the law telling you what you can do, even though the law also says, but you can't do it in this context, but it's doing it. You have no defense. You're just left out there to say, oh, well, I hope they don't come for me. And trust me, if your defense is, I hope they don't come for me, it's only a matter of time. In the sort of Churchillian version, you can feed the crocodile and hope that it eats you last. But the crocodile's coming. So you have this couple here. And by the way, there was a very good piece that I would recommend to you by Tom Nichols in The Federalist. It's on thefederalist.com today. The new totalitarians are here. And he makes an important distinction, one that we should spend much more time on talking about than we do these days, because we are actually in a transitioning period. The government is already authoritarian, right? There's already endless amounts of malum prohibitum, law that's just law because the government says it's law, law that can send you to prison because you've essentially offended Uncle Sam's sensibilities. You haven't hurt anyone, you haven't stolen anything, but you can go to jail for it. And the government says, you want to do this? You want to see who wins? Our federal government has become increasingly authoritarian. I talk to you about the authoritarian impulse on a regular basis. Now, authoritarianism, as Tom points out in this piece, and those of you who are political science majors or studied some political science, understand that there are some distinctions in these various isms, distinctions that are worth our time to talk about. The basics of it are that authoritarianism is do what we say or else, right? Authoritarianism is bake the wedding cake or you will be fined and perhaps go to jail. That's authoritarianism. That's already happening. We're already there. Totalitarianism is bake the wedding cake, or else we'll send you to jail or take your money or both. And by the way, we also want you to walk around telling everybody you know how much you love baking wedding cakes in this context and how you couldn't be more supportive of gay marriage and how anyone in your family who doesn't support gay marriage will be reported to the proper authorities and you'll be part of the Twitter mobs that are out there screaming at anybody who doesn't support gay marriage that you will seek out and destroy from within your own circle of friends anyone who is a dissident on this point of gay marriage. That's totalitarianism. And that's what the progressive left now wants. That's the next phase. You're already at authoritarian on many of these social issues, on the government in general, on Obamacare. Sit here with me all day. We can talk about this all day. How many points of authoritarianism can you cite from the federal government? Second Amendment doesn't really count because they say it doesn't count. Oh, yeah, the words don't mean what they say, by the way. The words in Obamacare don't mean what they say. Buy what they tell you to buy or else. You're already in an authoritarian place. You have no defense. The Bill of Rights is a joke now. You're already there. You're sort of grabbing on to the last scraps of your liberty, and we're supposed to be grateful for those. Oh, thank you, federal government. Penned in with the rope. We're already penned in with the rope. But totalitarian is level beyond authoritarian. Totalitarian is not just the society where men with guns in a corrupt and self-dealing kind of way tell you what to do or else, but that you are expected to go home and pray to the state god, if you will, the god as state. Totalitarian in the context of the Soviet Union was, you better be on board for all this. You better praise Lenin. You better praise the revolution. You speak out against it, and you are done. We'll turn your own family against you. We'll turn a husband against a wife and a wife against a husband. It's not enough for you to comply. You have to like it and say you like it. As Tom points out in this piece in The Federalist, which I really do commend you today, and I told him it was good. It is good. Worth your time to read. And I've read to you before the final scene from George Orwell's 1984. I've read it to you on this show, maybe about a year ago on air, because it is so haunting and it's so timely for what we're dealing with right now, is that for all of the terrors of this omnipresent state as God world, for all of the oppression, for all of the tyranny, for all of that, the most horrifying moment in that book, and it is a terrifying book to read, and if you have read it before, you should read it again, and it's one of those books that you should read over and over again because you will get more from it each time. The most frightening part of Orwell's 1984 comes at the very end when there is a denunciation of the two lovers. The lover, he says, oh, no, it's her fault. It's her fault. That little rebellion that he had of falling in love and wanting to be outside the purview of the state and wanting to actually do something that doesn't require official sanction and saying, enough, I have freedom. I'm a human being. I'm a man. I'm going to choose what I want to do. That is repudiated. I love the state. I love Big Brother. And the woman that I thought I loved, she's the problem. I denounce her. They've done this in totalitarian societies. That's the next step. It's not going to be at gunpoint necessarily here, but it's going to be through social pressure, through the law, through regulation, through fines. We're already seeing it happen. Not enough to say, all right, gay marriage, people should be allowed to get married, can't stop this, agree with this, whatever the case may be. That's not enough. Now you have to say, well, anybody who's religious and has an objection here, they must not only cave, but they must be forced to go out in front and denounce their beliefs and say, yes, you're right. The Bible is a bigoted, racist, ridiculous text. I should throw out the whole thing. None of it matters. My church doesn't matter. I pray only unto you, O holy state. Count the days, my friends. Count the days. Make the best use you can of the days you have left.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-630-6720. That's 800-630-6720.